So,
welcome.
Yes, yeah. To Gaming Society podcast.
I guess this is episode one, technically.
It's always episode one.
Yeah, it's always.
Every time we do one, it's like the first.
This is the first proper published one though, with all of us here. So yes.
Yeah. So welcome.
Introductions.
It is me, Richard.
Hi, I'm Adam.
My name is John. Cool.
That wasn't awkward at all. So the idea of the podcast is to talk about games, game-related things.
Also, what's coming up with the society?
That's game-related things.
Yeah, really shut up.
Kinda, I guess, if you
want to. If you really want
to.
Oh, right,
so, agenda.
Agenda. Well, we're going to start off with talking about Skyrim, because everybody loves Skyrim. Everybody bought Skyrim. As soon as it came out, my Facebook wall filled with people talking about Skyrim, and it's just like, apparently it's what the public wants.
I love the drab tone of your voice. Like, everybody loves Skyrim. God, yeah.
The thing is, I was really jaded about it, so I didn't buy it on release day. But then everyone kept talking about it, and after a couple of weeks, I actually succumbed and bought it. Even though it wasn't even a reduced price, I felt so horrible.
This is the worst kind of purchase.
I know, right? Especially with Steam.
Didn't I do that to you with Deus Ex?
Yes, he did, Adam. When we were at the I-43, Adam was like, I'm going to buy this new game, it's Deus Ex. And it's like, oh, wow, that looks cool. You get to shoot people, and it's like RPG elements. And then I bought it, and I'm just like, I don't like this game.
Yeah, you were really pissed off that it was a stealth game. But you didn't have to.
Did you not watch me play it?
I watched you take cover and shoot some people. And that was about it.
Oh, I must have been doing badly.
But
it got my imagination going. But anyway, back to Skyrim, the amazing open world Western RPG that everyone likes to talk about, and we're going to talk about it now.
What were your first impressions of the game, Ad?
I played it a Eurogamer first, and this was for about 20 minutes, half an hour. Yeah, it felt like 5 minutes, and as soon as I played it then, I knew, you know, there's no way in hell I'm not getting this on release day. And it was a lot of fun then, and it was a lot of fun back on release. I played it for about probably 2 or 3 days solid, really.
Try hard.
Yeah.
What kind of thing did you play?
Played a stealthy Nord, which is...
Stealthy Nord.
Yeah.
What? Completely against all law.
Yep. Just to say screw you to the game. I do what I want. So my character was a sort of sneaky bow kind of guy who was also a Viking.
Nice. Fair. Rich.
The first thing I had, because I had it on PC, was that I had to lower all my settings, which was really demoralising.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this frame rate, what is this? I can't even look around. But once I got over that, I had the same problem with Oblivion in making my character. It always looks ugly or not quite as good looking as you'd want your character to be. Like, if you compared it to presets in other RPGs, they usually...
You don't think you can make it look cooler?
No, I don't think you can make them look
cooler. Well, you played Oblivion, right? And did you play Fallout?
No, I didn't.
Well, they're both made by Bethesda, and the problem is that the character creators are set indoors. So, in Oblivion, you were creating your face in this really dark, dingy cell, and as soon as you step outside, you look like a vampire.
Yeah, really detailed. That one was glowing.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, God, he's ugly. That's an hour wasted.
Yeah, that's why you always save it just before leaving the dungeon.
Yeah.
Then
have a bit of plastic surgery.
I
thought the setting of the first, like when you do the tutorial basically, was pretty well done though. And it gets you really excited for the game when you come out that cave and the guy's like, right, we should probably split ways now, even though there's no reason, because you both go to the same town at the same time.
I bought the game yesterday, and that's where I just did the first kind of dungeon, basically. That's all I did, like the first tutorial area. It was all right. I played it, like I said, I installed it, played it for an hour, turned to my friend and asked him if he wanted a game of League instead, because that just seemed so much fun at the time. I mean, I was like, yeah, it was all right. Yeah. It wasn't as good as Morrowind. So,
it wasn't as good as Morrowind's first hour.
Yeah, definitely not. Where I died 8 times. And,
you know, yeah.
Got lost in the freaking wilderness. Like, oh. But
no, there's nothing quite as sort of strange and weird as there is in Morrowind, like the silt striders and that kind of thing, like giant mushrooms.
But no, it was a very pretty game, and I look forward to exploring it more.
That's really the thing with the game, is about its exploration, and that's kind of one of the things that I get a bit annoyed about with it, is that it's a really big world, and there's no way anyone can argue otherwise. But the only way they can make it big is by using loads of presets, especially in the dungeons. So really, there might be, I don't know, do you have any idea how many dungeons there are?
Hundreds, definitely in the hundreds range.
But really, you're only playing through about like 50 that are rejumbled. And when you're going through that many, it just feels like you're playing the same thing over and over. And the enemies don't really change. When you start playing the game, you get introduced to a lot of stuff, so it seems like every enemy's different. But over time, it feels like it's repeating itself.
Well, have you got any mods for it yet? Because the one thing I'm going to point out is with Oblivion, which I modded the hell out of, which most people did on the PC, the game itself, vanilla, I played on the Xbox, it was fine. But once I got the mod, I mean, there was one called Deadly Reflexes, version 5, and that was just phenomenal. It added so many more algorithms to the enemies fighting, so that they would try and dodge, duck. If you did the same attack at them, they would be able to counter because they learned really fast. And it added, obviously, a million new enemies to the leveled list. It gave all of the bandits, which were before, they were just called bandit, and they would just have, like, mithril armor and an axe. It gave them one of the starting classes, so they would now be bard or, you know, assassin, and they would have all the spells and potions that class would have. So all of a sudden, the bard would see you just instantly turn himself invisible, run at you. It just made the game so much more dynamic. So are there any mods like that for Skyrim?
The Steam Workshop came out a couple of weeks ago now, and that's a really easy way to set up mods. So there's a whole bunch on Skyrim Nexus already. So there's probably something out there, but it's, I expect, given the amount of time, it's probably...
It's going to take another year.
Yeah, it'll take a while.
So if the guys making Deadly Reflex mods are listening to this...
Well, I think... please. Bethesda took some inspiration from that in their sort of the headings and stuff, the finishing moves. Like, they were pretty reminiscent of Deadly Reflex, I thought.
Yeah.
Though the combat's still pretty kind of hold shield, whack sword.
Yeah, that's another problem I have with it, is that you sort of get to a point where you can kill most people, generic enemies, fairly simply, fairly easily. But if something's like a few levels higher than you, say a boss, it suddenly becomes really difficult because there's not much you can do with regards to the combat. You can block if you've got a shield or a weapon in one hand, but that is about it. If you don't have a shield or weapon in one hand, then you're running around in circles, jumping on rocks, trying to avoid the guy.
And that's where the sliding difficulty bar comes in. I find that quite irritating playing through all of the Elder Scrolls games, because you're in somewhere, you're right near the end of a dungeon or something, and you're really low on health, you've got no health potions left, and you're fighting maybe 2-3 guys at the same time, and you think, right, either I have to turn around, run back, rest up, buy new things, come back here and do this all again, or I just slide that bar down by 50% for like 2 seconds while I kill these guys and then finish the dungeon. And I always take that easy option, because it just means the game is just more drawn out the other way, which...
You're not hardcore enough, Johnny.
It isn't cool, I know, but it's so easy to do that. So they shouldn't have that. That's annoying. Why do they have that?
Because of your own weakness. But that's a good point, I think.
But why? It's just, why would I want to just do
I
this
I have
again?
The opposite problem, though, because I found that towards the end of the game, I was just slaughtering everything.
Yeah.
Like, so what I did is I just whacked out the difficulty to the max, and suddenly the game's fun again.
Mm. It's not that. It's not the fact. That's the thing. I think it's not the fact that it's funner. It just takes longer. Mm. You still would attack someone in the same way. So you have that entertainment of attacking someone. You're like, well, that's good. It's just you don't have to attack them as many times.
Yeah.
It should make the enemies more intelligent. You know, it should have more of an effect on the game rather than just increasing or decreasing health.
Well, I had no problem with just, you know, if something was too hard for me, I said, well, I'll come back to this some other time. Like, I didn't feel that as soon as I went into a dungeon, I should be able to complete it, because you should be able to run into places and find, oh, crap, I'm completely outclassed.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of experience where you find that you're trapped somewhere with a whole bunch of people who are murderous and, you know, much better than you, is quite exhilarating.
Running away from a cliff race, yeah. 5 minutes on Morrowind, that's all I remember. It's just corking behind me, just, yeah, running to the nearest sea, which is, yeah, miles away.
I know, I find that that can be quite fun, but it needs to be at a point that makes sense. I think a common example would be one of the earlier quests. You go up to the top of a mountain to meet a bunch of dragon priests, and all you do is fight like really low level wolves and stuff on the way up. Apart from one frost troll or something that's about 20 levels higher than everything else. So you get off your horse and you start hitting it, and you realise that you're literally doing about 1/100th of its health every hit, and then it kills you in like 2 hits. And it's just like, that doesn't agree with the pacing of the rest of this area. That doesn't make any sense.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. My brother just said something funny. He was like, yeah, just killed a dragon, turned around and got killed by a bear. I was like, what? Really? He was like, yeah, the bears are absolutely kick-ass.
I think it's funny as an anecdotal thing when you're talking about it later, but for me, when you're in the game, you're just, it's just frustrating because it doesn't make any sense. There was no way you were meant to know about that.
Mm.
And it's not, like, maybe if that troll was a significant character and you were meant to come back later to kill it, like, that would have made more sense to me.
Too linear, Rich. Too linear. Diversify.
Mm.
But, okay, so, thought about for a while. What about, you know, would you recommend this game?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, for
even
sure.
I've
like,
played for an hour, I still would say, yeah. I can tell it's going to be fun.
Best sales been ever.
Could be bothered to play yesterday.
I wouldn't recommend it if you've got like a degree to do, but
yeah,
well, let's see. I've put about 120 hours into it, and I'm still like, I finished the main quest and some stuff, but no.
And you're still on your first character.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't touched the Civil War storyline at all. I've mostly just
spoilers.
Kind of
I'm pretty sure you find out about that within the first 2 seconds of the game.
Oh.
You weren't paying attention.
I was not paying attention. I was like, dragon! Yeah.
I'd say I'd recommend it because it is a lot of fun and it takes up a lot of time. So if you want a game that you can just put
value for money.
Yeah. I am a believer in value for money.
Yeah.
So if you want a game that's going to take up a lot of time, then it's a good game. But in terms of, you've got to forgive it for a lot of things. You've got to enjoy it for being Skyrim, not for the stories itself or the gameplay or anything. You've got to find your own fun with it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Cool. Well, before we stop talking about Skyrim, if any of you got like sort of any favourite Skyrim stories, I guess probably you haven't because you played it for an hour, but because I think my favourite moment was I was outside Whiterun and you know, random dragon attack, and there's this thief. She comes running up. See, I'm fighting this dragon. She's like, oh, dragon, you know, starts helping me, you know, together we kill this dragon, you know, it's on the ground, I absorb its soul, it's all dramatic and stuff. And then after that's done, she taps me on the back essentially and says, hey, I want all your money. And I'm like, did you not just see what happened?
we were Bromigos. We came on the dragon.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like one shot her. And it's like, well, nice. That was such a waste.
Yeah. Did you not see how powerful I was?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, the stuff I've done that's probably the funniest usually involves illusion magic, which is apparently the most underrated form of magic. But it's hilarious because you have like the calm spell, which turns any hostile person into basically a normal NPC, so they say normal things. And you can get into some really... I was doing some thief mission, and a guard caught me, and then I used the calm thing. And instead of just like walking off like I'd expect her to, she just followed me around, literally just followed me around this dungeon saying, I'm going to call the guards on you.
That's quite good.
And eventually I made a run away, but then that attracted like 20 guards to run and find me. So
basically she turned into like your annoying 7-year-old cousin.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good spell.
Anyway, Skyrim, cool.
Boom.
You were going to talk about The Old Republic.
Oh, I was. I thought you guys haven't played The Old Republic.
I haven't played it, no. Watched a bit of it, like...
Just, I haven't really played it much, actually. I got it, and I was like, oh my god, I'm going to play this so much. I know I didn't. I played through as a smuggler for a bit, and I played through as a Sith warrior for a bit, so I had a taste of both sides. Did like the starting planets and things like that, first dungeon, and then I don't know why I just haven't played it. There just seems to be, I think it's because I haven't got enough people on Skype playing it at the moment, and I need, because you need to coordinate loads, don't you? I don't find it fun to play on my own, and so I need to be on Skype with someone. So if I can't get, if my brother and friends aren't playing, I just won't play. And if they are playing, they often play in the daytime when I'm working. So I'm like, so
yeah,
I just haven't played it very much.
I'd love to play, but the subscription fee puts me right off. Like, it's £1 to buy the game new, and then sort of £8 a month to carry on playing. And I can get games for £5, which, you know, I'll get plenty of life out of.
I bought Deus Ex 1 for 50p the other day. I cannot wait to sink my teeth into that. Yeah,
yeah,
that's going to be ages for 50p.
See, that's value for money, whereas the Old Republic, like, I loved Knights of the Old Republic 1, and 2 to a lesser extent. And according to BioWare, this is like Knights of the Republic 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
But even so, like, like you said, I would rather play it with people I know, you know, kind of get that shared experience. And B, I don't want to pay a subscription fee for something which I'm primarily appreciating as a single player game. Like, you know, I don't want to pay for Knights of the Republic per month.
Yeah. It's a fair viewpoint. It is a phenomenal game. Everything about it is incredible. You're exploring these areas. You're always, every single new area you kind of go in, you wait a second and have a look at because you just want to. Every single new area. The combat works like most MMO, but it's fun. It's flashy. The lightsabers actually contact. You know, that's nice. That's a nice touch. You don't just like slide through everything. They do kind of the animations are really there. So everything about the game is very good fun. I think I'm going to play a lot over summer, in fact. I'll probably be putting in, you know, kind of like 50 hours a week almost over summer because everyone's going to go home for summer and stuff. So I'll probably put loads of time in then. But until then, that's just on the waiting list, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I always watch my brother play it. And one thing I noticed was he went for a Imperial agent, and what I've heard is that Sith versus Republic, it's massively stacked towards Sith, which I find really weird. Like, you'd think that, you know, all the kiddies who go for the kind of goody Republic, like Jedi, and that's just not happened, because like on World of Warcraft, it's generally stacked towards Alliance, from what I know.
I wanted to go as Republic because I thought loads of little kids would want to go as Darth Maul. I just thought they'd be like, oh my god, Darth Maul. And I just didn't want to play with those
perfect
people.
Perfect impression there.
Yeah.
That is every 10-year-old.
Well, and the worst thing is, it's evil is not like limited to Sith. You can be evil on Republic.
No, that's a really good thing. You can be a good or evil.
Like,
I think that's
there's no reason to pick Sith if you just want to be a bad guy. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Bad guy on either side. But no, it does make sense because, I mean, you can still... What it means is that you're working for the Republic. So you're still... Everything you do is going to help the Republic. It's just the little things you do along the way. Like, oh, I'll just kill this peasant for his money. So that's not really hindered the Republic's mission.
Yeah,
you're still on the Republic side, but you've just earned dark side points.
I've got no problem with that. That's a really good idea. But what I'm saying is that, you know, if you pick Sith purely because you want to be Darth Maul or whatever, like, that's there's no reason to, because you can do that on the Republic side as well. But apparently the Sith quests are a lot better, from what I hear. That Republic's a bit boring, so maybe that explains it.
Yeah, that's one of the problems when you have factions like that. Because Guild Wars had a chapter where they had two factions, and for one, you split up the players, which is kind of annoying because then one side always gets more than the other and becomes more popular. And it usually changes over time as well, so you can't always guarantee which side you want to go on, depending on how many people there are.
Yeah.
And then you also miss out on a lot of quests and things. Because
I do always want to play both.
Yeah, you
I
want
always,
to do both.
I mean,
it's not designed for that.
Knights of the Republic was a killer. Pretty much every kind of conversation where I thought this is integral to the storyline, I would save it and redo that conversation maybe six times because there was always so many options. I remember with Knights of the Republic, I really enjoyed those games, but I would just have to play each conversation out loads and see where I got the influence points for the other characters. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, it was a bit of a nightmare, really, but it was, yeah, still fun. But that's what it's like playing through this, but you can't kind of go back. You just say things and you're like, oh no, they hate me. There's no turning back now. No,
why am I
game.
Such a social retard?
Yeah. No save game. So yeah, but it's still fun. But you just want to do it all the time.
But that's one of the advantages, I guess, because you can't go back. I mean, Fable 2 had that, and loads of people complained that you couldn't save before you made a decision. I'm like, well, actually, a game... It's like that have decisions built into them. They want you to think about what you're saying and not just click the most convenient option.
It's not really a decision if you can go back and change it. Like
it
doesn't have any significance. It just means that you're min-maxing. If if you can go back and pick the optimal dialogue option. I mean, you don't get that in real life.
The only problem with Fable 2 was that none of the options really did anything. the idea was there, but there was no execution.
You do get some funny lines, though, depending on what choices you see. Like, kind of, just sometimes it's good to see what other lines you get.
Yeah.
Yeah, certain characters are quite hilarious.
But then, perhaps that's what YouTube's for.
Yeah.
Just go through HK47 dialogue.
Yeah, basically, that's what I'm thinking as well. Meatbag. Brilliant. I wonder if I'll meet him in this game.
Yeah, he's in it somewhere.
Brilliant. That's pretty cool. Games. Okay, so what are you looking forward to in the year 2012?
Any answer other than Guild Wars 2 is invalid.
I will play Guild Wars 2 because no subscription fee. Like, you know.
Yay!
But probably Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I always forget, and I've made a mental note to remember because it looks awesome.
Yeah, no, that I've seen a few of those demos, and I just love the style. Like Bioshock 2 was, I didn't like it,
but that was
the style, the sort of atmosphere, and the I say the style, the way it had themes that gave it so much character, the way the monsters were scary but still like quirky, and at the start, it felt like a horror game. By the end of it, you felt like you knew Rapture. You knew these people. You didn't like them, but you understood them more. And I just really, really got into it. Which is why I didn't like Bioshock 2, because it just felt like they copied and pasted it badly.
Yeah, when it was a different studio as well. It felt like a completely unnecessary sequel. Like,
yeah,
I felt definitely. The Rapture story was done. And then it's like, well, more Rapture. And I kind of like...
Didn't they blow it up at the end of...
I don't know, I didn't finish it.
I can't remember.
I just got
I hope they blew it up, though. I can't even remember what happened because it was so... Like, the ending was like, oh, what is this? It's just got nothing on the first one. But Infinite looks like they've really... They've got a spark again. They've got this wacky little flying city. And they've got their wacky people that are inhabiting it. They just want to kill you for some reason.
Yeah.
They're trying to try something new with that woman and how she interacts, which I'm kind of dubious about. That's not selling it for me. It might be fun, but that's not the reason I'll play it. The reason I'll play it is for the atmosphere.
Yeah, well, when I watched I watched some of the trailers and the gameplay demos, and what really struck me was the kind of the sense of vertigo that you got, because as you're travelling around this flying city, there's a bunch of sort of rails, and you can hook onto these rails with something that's on your wrist, and you sort of just go flying around. Like this thing would tear your arm off.
That
if
sounds
it was real.
So cool.
But like it's like a roller coaster. You fly up really high, and then you drop off, and then suddenly you're falling, and it really feels like you're falling towards the ground.
Is it like the Myst games, like Riven and Exile?
No.
Like that? Do you ever, you know, when you go from area to area and you go from island to island and you go on little roller coasters?
Not really. It's been a long time since I played any of those, but it's kind of a lot more sort of
Because you can look around.
Scary.
I hate this word, but visceral. Like, visceral. Like, it's, you know, kind of, it feels real. Like a...
Yeah, like a, that...
Mirror's Edge. Yeah.
What a game.
When you fell towards the floor in Mirror's Edge, like, and you heard the crunch, like, it was like, a cringe-worthy moment.
I've done that wrong.
It's like,
oh, you guys fell off. I never...
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
The whole game, I never once...
You never played the game?
I bring it to all of the lands, actually. I'm always like, yeah, people should have played this. Even though there's only one player, it's so nice to look at. I'm like, yeah, I want to play this.
I remember at Go Global, I think I spent half the day playing.
Yeah.
I would have finished it if Frost didn't freaking save over my save.
Yeah, Ross. Ross, you listen.
Whatever.
It probably isn't, no.
No.
Is this the kind of the secretly slander Ross book?
Oh, we've been covered.
That's quite cool.
But yeah, looking forward to that.
I'm always a little bit behind everyone else in terms of games, so I'm really looking forward to, you know, playing Portal 2.
Oh yeah,
and
I still haven't got that.
Things like that.
I'm really looking forward to this new thing. It's from a bunch of guys called Valve Software. Yeah. It's Half-Life.
I remember, sorry, what did I do? I was on the gaming page on Facebook and someone was like, oh yeah, I've got these Steam vouchers for these games, and I was like, what's Steam? I'm like, oh no, I shouldn't have. And then someone explained, I was like, oh, bless you. I'm so sorry.
Was that the week you were literally going 100% troll?
It was a bad week for me. We went to play basketball, I remember, and Rosie was like, oh yeah, you guys come to play basketball? So we went out to play basketball, got back. I was like, oh, sorry Rosie, I didn't think I'd be able to make it. She's just like, oh, you're just such a tool. Yeah.
There was one person who came up to me at an event and said, you know, and it's like, oh, I don't play games. And I'm like, well, that's fine. And he's like, not really. I'm like, oh, well, now this is awkward.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of events, upcoming, there's the usual LAN, that's every Thursday. This week it's in the Trafithic building. I think we're going to bring along a Switch and we'll try out some Minecraft sort of on a server.
Oh yeah, I saw that on the Facebook.
Minecraft?
Yes.
Explain.
You know what Minecraft is.
Yeah.
For all those other people.
Yeah, for all those.
Minecraft.
No.
Minecraft.
I thought
that's a game.
Minecraft. Yeah, come on, let's make this. Let's make it happen. You have to have like a few crates of wine, and then every time you find a cavern,
you drink.
The
great thing is you only need to make like an hour of gameplay, and then you just sort of sit there.
Yeah, I think Minecraft. Sorry, I got blocked here, so I misheard you. But yeah. Minecraft is the way to grow.
Okay, we'll try and set up a server, and I don't know, see what happens. We're thinking about doing some kind of tournament in the future.
Building things.
Yeah, something like that. Something horribly elaborate that will doubtless go wrong.
Like when we tried to do the Halo map competition.
Oh yeah,
I loved that. A few people did that. It was really good fun. Yeah. Last year we had some really good irritating challenge maps, so they were good.
Yes, very irritating.
Yeah. I just remember someone spawning those death balls rolling down a hill, and like you had to try and god, that was upsetting.
But so there's that coming up. There's also some kind of joint gaming anime Japanese party thing.
Are you talking about the meme crawl?
No.
No.
It's robots. Yeah, I don't know the exact details yet. But
that's sort of early stages. It's something like anime are going as pirates.
Gaming as robots.
Robots and Japanese.
And those people who
have
both have to decide which...
Yeah.
You have to hybrid. You have to go like a robot pirate samurai.
Yeah, well, wicked. and then the meme crawl, which I just mentioned, is on the 15th. I think it's a Thursday, the 15th, potentially, of this month. Just dress up as your favourite meme. And it says meme crawl. It's called meme crawl, so I don't know if that is actually a
pub
crawl.
There is a pub crawl.
There is a pub
we
crawl.
We did it last year. And we started in Gassy's, and our second pub was Coco's.
And then you stayed in Coco's because Coco's is brilliant.
But we literally stayed in Coco's because Coco's is just...
It is so good.
Just has two-for-one cocktails and is pretty convenient.
Well, you just crawl around Coco's, like...
I'm not going to say I haven't done that before.
Oh my God, that time, and you were just in there on the chair, completely comatose.
Yeah. And we were like, Not technically a gaming event, but still go. That'd be cool. And
but everyone's invited, isn't it?
Yes.
The Anime Society, if you want to find out more details.
But most importantly, Saturday 24th of March is the Gaming Society AGM, which is where we're going to elect our committee for next year. So
that'd be quite interesting.
Yes.
I've talked to a couple of people, actually, about that already.
Yeah. And we're actually going for it this year, because last year it was pretty much just, oh, do you want that position? Sure, have it. Like,
there's more people now, more interested.
More people now, there's more interest. So if you... if you want to apply for a position, there is the position of president, treasurer, secretary, webmaster, and...
Social sec.
I could explain what every role does, but...
That's boring.
Yeah, that's online.
Put it online, though. Put it on the society
page. It is online. We'll probably bump the thread on Facebook, make sure there's something on the forum.
Cool.
And if you do want to apply for one of those things, email Abby, who is the president, or... You know, send it on to someone who looks important and we'll pass it on. And that will, you know, put you in for the nominations. Currently, we have had no one do anything. Even me, and I'm running for something next year. So I should get on that, and so should you.
Even if you're not running for anything, you should turn up to the AGM.
Yes, please.
You vote people in, and you also get a chance to ask them questions. So you might have two people running for a position.
Yeah.
You say, have you had any experience looking after, you know, organising events before? One of them says yes. You go, right, I'll vote you, social sec, et cetera, et cetera.
So yeah, exactly.
It's good. It's a good chance to see the people.
Yeah, so I will be running for webmaster again this year. Well, next year. And so, you know, or you might prefer some other candidate. So, you know, please come along and vote. Also, if you've got any sort of queries or ideas or just general suggestions, please go to the AGM and bring them up, because that's what it's for.
It's a good place to bring them up. I think it's also important, like, if you're just thinking about it but not sure you'd be good enough, try and put your name in anyway.
Yep.
Because the more people, the more competition, the better committee members you're going to get next year, basically.
Yes.
Come with your own ideas. Think up some things you really want to do with the society if you got voted in. And really push it, basically, when you're at the AGM. Try and go for a position, because that will just make the committee better next year.
If you didn't nominate yourself beforehand and you turned up to the AGM, would you be able to just stand up and go, I would like to go for this? Is that an option for people?
Possibly, but we would much prefer it if you... you've got to provide a 200-word sort of summary about you and, you know, what you want to do. So, get on that. Also, a position I possibly forgot to mention was we're thinking about having someone...
Creative director.
No, that's your eternal position. Like we can't fill it. someone to help out with InServe. So that's stuff like console registration. Because at the moment it's mostly me. And
well done for that, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't do that much. Like what I do currently is act as a sort of communication point between InServe and the society. And, next year I'll be in third year, so I'll have less time to do that. And also, the console registration system should be rolled out to everyone, so you won't need to go through us to do it. However, we will be providing the support. So that could get a bit overwhelming for me if I am webmaster next year. Someone else might be. Anyway, for them. This isn't official yet, but we're kind of thinking of possibly having an extra position for someone who is dedicated to that kind of thing. So also go for that. I think
that's cool.
That's mostly everything about the AGM.
That's a wrap.
Yeah.
Talking of which, we're in the union, so we should get a magic wrap on the way home.
No.
No, I've never had one of those.
Ingram's always running.
It's just really annoying because people never queue the right way. They queue across the hallway.
So, that is so you. I'm going to go to an establishment and complain about how people are queuing.
No, it's because the way it works is the shop itself is really small, so people have to queue in the hallway. But instead of queuing along the wall, they queue across the walkway. So you're trying to get through the door and there are people walling you.
God.
It's just like freaking consumers.
Wow.
So, Before we go, I'll pimp the Facebook group in the forum. Facebook, I would be amazed if you're not on there already, but that's where we post all our events. There's usual discussion there, blah, blah, blah. Forum is not as important these days, but please still go because, you know, post because that's nice. And if you want to ask about unblocking games on ResLan, that kind of thing, please post it on the forum instead of the Facebook group, because if you post it on the Facebook group, it's going to get buried. I'm going to forget about it. And also, the guys in serve read the forum, like, or at least the section dedicated to ResLan. So, you know, I won't have to pass it on. They might, you know, take pity on you, see your plea, and just do it for you. There have been a couple of times when that's happened. So, yeah, please go do that.
I mean, the forum for things like that, like if you want to discuss games and stuff, I think the forum is still a much better place to do it, because the way Facebook works is, well, you must
whatever
know.
Whatever posts on last trips to the top.
Yeah, whatever really gets posted on last. So that means things get bumped ridiculously.
I bumped an event from 3 weeks ago, which has already passed.
And he was so proud of me.
I was so proud of myself. I was like, bump,
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you are posting on Facebook, and then it also collapses your comments and no one reads all of those comments.
Oh, yeah.
You are more likely
like,
to get
37 comments.
A discussion going on.
Also, we do cool stuff on there like Mafia Games and Diplomacy, which just concluded.
Diplomacy is good.
Yeah.
GG,
you English scum. yeah, so please sign up for those. I think that's about it.
Alright.
Should we?
Yeah, thanks for listening, I suppose.
Yeah, whatever. No big deal.
We'll totally get another one of these out in like 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Definitely.
It's a good plan. You know,
this is
nothing too ambitious.
We could probably chop this one up.
Oh, yeah. No, no. We'll release it
six different ones.
We'll release the first half and then the rest of it is DLC.
Yeah, totally. Good plan.
Definitely work.
Okay, yeah, right, maybe speak to you soon. Hopefully speak to you soon.
It's not a phone call.
Love you.
Yeah, love you, hang on. Right, whatever. Cool.
All right,
good luck with studies. Bye.
Bye.